Once again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. No better place to be. No other place we'd want to be. And it's good to be here with you on the Lord's Day in this assembly. Thank you for having us, and thank you for being in the services since Thursday, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your kindness. But if it comes to sharing the bug that's going around, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be kind and share that. You can keep that all to yourself. But we do pray for those that are afflicted, and pray that God would raise all up according to His will. Let's take our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, when you're asked to preach at a conference, when you're asked to preach a revival or a series of services, a preacher will always think, well, I'd like to preach on this. I really need to preach on this. When you're preaching a series of meetings, you think to yourself, now I'd like to preach one message on salvation, one message on service, one message on the family, one message on the young people. You always have big plans and big things that come into your mind when you're asked to preach somewhere. And all of those things that come into your mind as a preacher are a total waste of time. Because we're not allowed to preach what we want. We don't make the agenda. We have to find the leadership of the Lord. We have to preach the message that He has given us for each and every hour. And we're duty-bound to do that today in both services. Not preach what we might like to. Not preach what you might like us to do. But we have to preach the messages that the Lord has laid upon our heart. And we trust He'll make them a blessing to all and be pleased with all that is said and done. The title of my message this morning, very simply, is Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read verse 12 through 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the Matthew reference, verse 21, and in the Timothy reference, verse number 15, both places you find those words, Jesus and saves, together. And that's the message title this morning, Jesus Saves. Matthew's gospel, you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 15 of 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Those are familiar words. Those are words that you've heard many, many times before. Jesus saves. Years ago, they were very popular. Years ago, you would have found them on bumper stickers and advertising, and you would have heard many messages on the subject, Jesus saves. Well, in the message, Jesus saves, you find the gospel. Yes. Jesus saves, that's the message of the gospel. And I've always said, and I have always believed, and I still believe to this day, that there are many different ways to preach the gospel. There's many different ways of preaching the gospel in Scripture. Many different ways that the gospel is presented. And the term Jesus saves is just one way of presenting the gospel. And in considering those words, Jesus saves, we come to the question, well, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? We come to the question, when we come to that term, Jesus saves, we come to the question, well, who needs to be saved? Who needs to be saved? We come to the question, when we come to that phrase, Jesus saves, we come to the question, well, how does he save? How does he do that? And we come to the question, when we consider that subject, Jesus saves, well, whom does he save? Who is Jesus? Who needs to be saved? How does he save? Who's he going to save? All of those things are found within that phrase of Jesus saves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that he preached the gospel unto the Corinthians. He preached how that Jesus Christ died, how that Jesus Christ was buried, how that Jesus Christ rose again. He gives us a definition of the gospel by some people's accounts. But Paul was not giving us the only way to preach the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not the only way of preaching the gospel. Those words Jesus says preaches the gospel. Any message that lifts up the sinfulness of man, the rising up of Jesus Christ for the saving of those lost, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the coming of Jesus Christ again, any message that contains all of those things is the gospel. And it's the preaching of the gospel. And the message Jesus saves brings all those components before us. We started off this week in speaking personally, speaking intimately to you who are here without Christ. We've asked you, and I don't know if you did it or not, but we've asked you to put everything else out of your mind, put everything else out of your agenda and focus in on the fact that you're lost. Focus in and zero in on the fact that in your condition you don't know Christ. You're unsaved. We ask you to continue to do that today and listen. Listen to the gospel. Listen to the message that is preached in those two words Jesus says. If you're here and you're lost, answer the question, well, just who is this Jesus then? Who is this Jesus? John chapter 1. John chapter 1 answers this question, well, who Jesus is? In light of the gospel and in light of that statement Jesus says, John 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. That word, Word, is a name for Jesus Christ. And it's telling us in the beginning, Jesus was. Already was. Jesus is not a created being. Before anything was created, Jesus was. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word was with God. Notice that statement there next. And the Word was God. Jesus says, well, just who is this Jesus? We find out that this Jesus was with God. This Jesus was God. This Jesus is God. And when we think about Jesus Christ, saving, we need to remember that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God taking upon Himself a body and giving Himself for the salvation of sinners. So when you hear the message, you who are lost today, Jesus says, remember who Jesus is. Remember who we're talking about. We're talking about God. God is the creator of all things, and God is the only one who can save. And God saves in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. Verse number 14 tells us, and the Word, speaking about Jesus, and the Word, which was God in verse number 1, and the Word was made flesh, was made a man, came in human form, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And I remind you of our text, Matthew chapter 1. You'll call Him Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Remember what it goes on to say a little bit later on. He shall be called Emmanuel. Jesus. Those called Him Jesus, but He was also known as Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? What does the reference state there in verse 23? you'll call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So Jesus saves. Most important message you're ever going to hear. The most important message man will ever hear. The message Jesus saves. We've heard the joyful sound, the song says. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You're hearing it again today. And it's still the most important message you're ever going to hear. If you're here and you're saved, it's still the most important message you're ever going to hear, you've ever heard, because you know it's real. Jesus does save. And if you're here and you're lost, it's the most important message you're going to hear, because you need to hear it before it's too late. Jesus saves. Well, who was Jesus? Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. Jesus was God, becoming a man and dying for the salvation of his people. Only God can save a sinner. And he chose to do that by coming in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, as we think about Jesus saves, and we move on from who is Jesus, let's consider next of all the question, who needs to be saved? Who needs to be saved? In this gathering this morning, who here among us needs to be saved? Amongst all the people you know, you put in a lump or a number with them. Who among all the people you know, and yourself included, needs to be saved? You think about humanity, the population of man. Who among man needs to be saved? What's the answer? Most of you know what the answer is. The answer is everyone. There's nobody who doesn't need to be saved. There's nobody here this morning gathered in this place who doesn't need a Savior, who doesn't need to be saved, who doesn't need to see themselves as a sinner, receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and be saved. There's nobody immune. Nobody excluded. We all need a Savior. Some of us have a Savior. If you're here and you don't have a Savior and you're not saved, who needs to be saved? You need to be saved. Not to please somebody, not to please a church, not to please a preacher. But you need to be saved because you're a sinner. Because you have a sin need. You have a sin debt. You need to be saved because Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus was God in the flesh. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We don't get to go to Ecclesiastes all that much in our services and Baptist churches. So we'll go to Ecclesiastes and read a verse of Scripture that tells us something that the book of Romans tells us. In relationship to the question, who needs to be saved? Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse number 20. For there is not a just man upon earth. There is not a just man upon earth. There is not one that doeth good. There is not one that sinneth not. So Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, came to save sinners. Who needs to be saved? Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone's a sinner. Romans tells us in a very familiar series of verses in chapter 3. Romans, the third chapter. Let's begin reading with verse number 10 and read several verses all the way to verse number 23. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus saves. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus was God among us, God with us. He came to save. Who does He save? The Bible tells us in that passage from Ecclesiastes that there's not a just man, so everybody needs to be saved. Similarly, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous. Pay attention now. There's none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, or which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And the most familiar passage, most familiar verse from the book of Romans, tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human being is a sinner. They're a sinner by nature. They're a sinner born to it. And they're a sinner by practice, by behavior, by conduct. And to sin means to come short of God's perfection, to come short of God's holiness. So Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He came to save His people. Well, who needs to be saved? Everyone needs to be saved. There's nobody can be excused. Nobody can be eliminated. There's none righteous, no, not one. Everyone's a sinner. Everybody needs a Savior. That means everybody here needs a Savior. Amen. Do you have a Savior? Are you saved? Can you think and sink down deep into that thought? Jesus says. Jesus says. Well, who was Jesus? Why did He come? He came to save sinners. Well, who needs to be saved? Everyone. May God help you if you're here and you're lost. Get outside of yourself. Get out from under yourself. Stop making excuses. And see yourself as a sinner. See yourself needing a Savior. See yourself as the answer. Who needs to be saved? May this be the hour that God shows you you need to be saved. And may He grant repentance and faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. Now, Jesus says, well, we've considered who is Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. Who needs to be saved? Everybody needs to be saved. No exceptions. Everybody here needs to make sure they have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And if not, they need to come to Christ and be saved before it's eternally too late. Now let's consider the third question. Well, how does He save? How does He save a sinner? Well, I like this saying I came across. I don't know where I got it from or who I was reading. Let this sink in. Try to grab a hold of this little saying. How does He save? Either a finite person suffers for their sins for an infinite period of time, or an infinite person suffers for our sins one time. Did you get that? How does he save? How are sins paid for? Well, either you as a finite being go to hell and suffer for infinity, unending. Either you pay for your sins that way, or Jesus Christ as the infinite one pays for your sins once and for all, as he did on the cross of Calvary. That's how he saves. Amen. That's how he saves. He saves by doing for us that which we cannot do ourselves. He saves by doing for us we could never do for ourselves. He saves by dying and having died in our place. That's how he saves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead or in Christ's place. Be ye reconciled to God. In the place of Jesus Christ, he pleaded with sinners to be reconciled to God. How? Verse 21. For he hath made him. God has made Jesus. God has made himself to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus saves. There's the good news. Amen. Jesus saves. He still saves today. He's still saving sinners. And we hear occasionally of sinners being saved. Jesus saves. Well, remember this morning who Jesus is. If you're here and you're lost, think about that. Remember who Jesus is. Remember who needs to be saved in that statement we're considering. Then remember how he saves. He saves people by taking their place. He saves sinners by going to the cross and giving his life a sacrifice once and for all. The infinite God, the infinite Savior, Jesus Christ, goes to the cross and was made sin for his people, was made sin to save his people. And that's how he saves, by saving, by going to the cross and dying in our place. Last of all, whom does he save? Whom does he save? You know, I said last night, and I wasn't being cute, and I wasn't being flippant, and I wasn't quoting something from the secular world and the entertainment world trivially. I meant what I said. As I look through these eyes of mine, these windows, I see dead people. I see people who are lost. I mean this. I mean this with all my heart. Don't dismiss me. Don't put me aside. Don't come up with excuses. Listen, I see among us this morning dead people. People who are dead in their trespasses and sins. People who are standing before a holy, righteous God, sinners, undone and unclean. There are those here in this very service that I see are dead and need a Savior. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus saves sinners. That's who he saves. John chapter 3, verse 16. Maybe the most familiar New Testament reference. Most everybody can quote it. For God so loved the world. Well, what did God do in light of His loving the world. What did that love that God had for people motivate Him to do? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever,
amen,
that's whom He saves. He saves whosoever. That's not a word that should be offensive to us.
Amen.
That's not a word that Baptists should have a problem with. That's a Bible word. The Bible plainly says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish.
Amen.
That's the promise of God. That's not the promise of this preacher or this preacher or this church or somebody you know. It's the promise of God. Whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall not perish. Jesus saves.
Amen.
Jesus saves. Jesus was God in the flesh. Who needs to be saved? Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs a Savior because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, how does He save? He saves people by taking their place. He saves people by going to the cross and suffering and bleeding and dying for their sins and dying in their place. And who will He save? He will save whosoever that will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That means you today. You today. I see dead people. Every time I get up and preach at Faith Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio, I see dead people. Some of them are young, some of them are old. But I see dead people, people who are lost. And God will save every one of them. That's whom He will save, whosoever will. As we often quote the Philippian jailer, asking, what must I do to be saved? Well, the answer is easy. What you need to do in order to be saved is what you need to do this morning if you want to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's the promise of God's Word. That's a promise of Almighty God. Jesus saves. Well, who is Jesus? Who needs to be saved? How does He save? Whom will He save? Whosoever comes, believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did John 1 say in verse 12? We didn't read this one when we were over here previously, considering who is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, let's back up and look at verse 12. What does verse 12 say? As many as received Him, God in the flesh, this Jesus we're talking about, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Who is He going to save? Whom can He save? He can save and will save whosoever comes. Whosoever believes. Whosoever receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Now nobody can do that without the working of the Spirit of God. Nobody can come unto the Father unless the Father draw him. But we spend too much time trying to qualify. We spend too much time talking about things theologically because we don't want to be misinterpreted or be taken the wrong way. And not enough time telling people just what the Bible says. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus was God in the flesh. God manifests in the flesh. And everybody needs to be saved and everyone needs a Savior. He saves by taking the place of a sinner. And He'll save all those that believe. You look in this room, if you're here without Christ, you look around and you're sitting there thinking, well, this one's saved, and this one's saved, and this one's saved. They're proof positive Jesus saves.
Amen.
And they're also proof positive that there's nobody the Lord can't save.
True.
He saves. He saves. As I stand up at Faith Baptist Church, as I said a moment ago,
I see people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, who have come in and out the doors of Faith Baptist Church for years and years and years. They're spouses of members that have come in and out the church door for years and years and years and been prayed for years and years and years, who are still lost. And guess what? They're not without hope. They have not expired. They've not lost their shelf life. God can save them even today, wherever they are. And no matter how long you've been lost, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've come in and outside the doors of this church, no matter how many times you've heard the message, Jesus saves, He can save you this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For your own good, for the security of your own eternity, Jesus saves. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us the wages of our sin. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Who's a sinner? Everyone's a sinner. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Death. It's not just talking about dying physically. That's the second death. That's eternal death. The wages of sin always pays the same. Death. But get the hope. That's in that 23rd verse. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Well, the gift of God is Jesus Christ. The gift of Jesus of God was salvation. The gift of God was sending His Son. We saw earlier in the week. The gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, the gift of God in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Do you have eternal life? Are you going to live forever in heaven? Are you going to live forever with the Lord? Are you going to live forever with the saints? Are you going to live forever with the brothers and sisters in Christ that are gathered around you this morning? Only if you see your need of Jesus Christ, and if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive eternal life. But continue on without Christ. Continue on down the road as a lost person, and you're risking an eternity of death, an eternity of separation, an eternity of God's judgment and God's wrath in hell. Jesus saves. That's the good news. In those two words you find the gospel. You find out that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. You find out that everybody needs to be saved. You need to be saved. You find out He does that by taking one's place on the cross of Calvary. And He'll save anyone and everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you just seriously look at yourself and see yourself as a sinner? See yourself in need of a Savior. See Jesus as that Savior. See Jesus as dying for your sins. Can you right now, just once and for all, see yourself in need of a Savior and see Jesus as that Savior? If you see yourself as a sinner and you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Because the news is, Jesus saves, and may He save someone that's gathered here today. May He save somebody who has been gathered here, who might be somewhere else today but still needs Christ. May Jesus save someone. I pray it's you. Thank you, brother.
I couldn't help